This is KYUK Public Radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Evan Erickson. The National Weather Service is urging communities to prepare for a potentially major storm over the weekend with the arrival of the remnants of Typhoon Halong. As of Thursday evening, flood and high wind watches had been issued for nearly the entire western coast of the state. On the Yukon Delta coast stretching from Hooper Bay to Kotlik, water levels could reach as high as 10 feet above the normal highest tide line, affecting access to airstrips as well as drinking water, wastewater, and fuel facilities. South winds of 40 to 60 miles per hour with gusts as high as 80 miles per hour are also expected. Along the Kuskokwim Delta coast and Nunavak Island, winds of up to 50 miles per hour and gusts as high as 75 miles per hour are possible for coastal areas north of Kipnuk. Flooding similar to that seen during the fall storm that swept through the area earlier in the week is expected. As for the storm that just wrapped up across western and northwest Alaska, Governor Mike Dunleavy issued a disaster declaration on Thursday for those communities. The State Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management said in a press release that flooding and storm surge damaged homes and infrastructure during Wednesday's storm. Kotzebue was under a mandatory evacuation, which has since been lifted. According to officials, there are no reports of injuries at this time. Carter McKay is a meteorologist with the National Weather Service. He says initial forecasts overestimated tide levels by 1 to 2 feet, which was good for low-lying communities like Kotzebue and Shishmaref.
As an overall trend, there was an abundance of, you know, high water and erosion across the West Coast with some areas of damage, but it wasn't widespread impacts.
The declaration activates public and individual assistance programs across the Bering Strait, Lower Yukon, and Kashunamut school regions, as well as the Northwest Arctic and North Slope boroughs. Those programs could help repair public infrastructure and provide aid to families whose homes were damaged. State emergency officials are deploying response teams and have requested help from the Alaska National Guard and State Defense Force. Incident Commander Mark Roberts said in the release that preparations made before the storm helped keep people safe, but warned that more bad weather is on the way. Flood warnings are in effect across western Alaska through Monday as another storm, the remnants of Typhoon Halong, approaches the Bering Sea. McKay says the Weather Service is already shifting its focus to the upcoming storm.
It's looking a little bit worse in terms of really strong winds gusting about 70 to 80 miles an hour. So wind gusts could be even stronger with this next one moving in, which could lead to more, potentially more significant coastal impacts.
Residents are urged to stay alert, follow local instructions, and keep emergency plans ready. Outside of Bethel, there's only one official restaurant in the entire YK Delta. It's an iconic pizza place that attracts patrons by bush plane, boat, and even ice road to its remote location. But as KYUK's Samantha Watson reports, bypass mail price hikes could threaten the eatery's future.
In a small wooden cabin primed for to-go orders, just big enough for a stand mixer and pizza oven, Hound House co-owner Dave Deal is working to satisfy the Friday night rush. He stretches and rolls dough into creations named after townspeople. The Guy, the Elaine. Out of the oven, staffer Nelly Alexei cuts pies into slices with a large ulu, like clean pieces of fish. Hound House is the only joint in town. In fact, it's the only official restaurant in an expanse roughly the size of Oregon, outside of Bethel.
It's good. I mean, no competition means more business for you, so.
While Deal half jokes, his wife and Hound House's founder, Esther Downhauser, maintains that it would be nice to have other places to eat out in town. She started the business over 30 years ago and has seen other restaurants come and go in Aniak. Now, Hound House remains the only joint in town.
When the ice road's in, our business like doubles and triples. We had the regional basketball tournament up here, and the whole village, the whole river, Akyachuk, Akyak, Tuliksak, they were like, we were working until about 1 o'clock every night.
Out here, far from the road system and flanked by miles of wilderness between villages, it hasn't been easy to keep Hound House in business. Once every 3 weeks, Deal and Downhauser receive a bypass mail order from a wholesale supplier in Anchorage. But recently, their setup was thrown a hurdle. This summer, the Trump administration announced a 9% price increase for bypass mail rates. It's a way to bring money back to the U.S. Postal Service, but a decision Alaska's most rural communities are feeling the brunt of. Diehl's wife, Esther Downhauser, says the increase has cut into their profit so much they're barely breaking even.
I mean, it's just so hard to keep going. It's like every time you turn around, something else goes up, and you just get tired of fighting it.
Diehl says if prices were to increase further or bypass mail eliminated altogether, he's not sure how much longer they could stay in business. Jojo Prince is a bus driver in Bethel. In the winter, he says he regularly drives his car the nearly three-hour stretch of ice road upriver to Aniak.
It's just amazing food there, and they're such wonderful people. It's fun catching up there, and I would hate to see it go.
It's a sentiment Downhauser shares. She says when she started Hound House back in 1994, she had no idea it would last this long.
There's definitely a need for a place to go around here. The winters are long, and people just need something else, something different.
She says it's the people that keep her going, which extend beyond just Aniak. Hound House also delivers. They'll send half-baked pizzas strapped in a bundle as air cargo out to nearby villages upon request. It's pizza that's well-known across the Delta, but Diehl says the bush operation is difficult to sustain.
You're not going to make a killing, but you can make a living.
Currently, a Hound House special extra large goes for $42. A large pepperoni pizza is $32. Diehl says they don't want to raise their prices any higher. Historically, when prices have ballooned for a period or they've lost money on spoiled bypass mail deliveries, they've eaten the cost internally.
We can't raise the prices anymore. There's only so much money that people have.
He says it might be getting time to retire, with grandkids to spend time with. But that could mean the end of Hound House and its almost legend-like reputation in the region. Diehl says Aniak is the kind of small place that, when holes are left, other things are slow to rush in and fill the gap. But for now, Friday nights in Aniak can still include Hound House pizza. And as for outsiders, it remains worth the trek, be it by bush plane, boat, or ice road. In Aniak, I'm Samantha Watson.
Alaska State Troopers updated their cold case website last month after 6 years without any updates. But when they posted the new list of unsolved murders, they dropped cases they said had no viable leads. Victim advocates protested that decision. Charlene Apok, Director of Data for Indigenous Justice, says it's important for the public to know about all the cases, whether they're viable or not.
We have the right to know. This is our community. These are services provided by the government. We have the right to know.
Other advocates said removing the name sent a message to killers that their crimes would be forgotten. Trooper spokesman Austin McDaniel says that was not the intent, but troopers have made changes based on the feedback. On Wednesday, they updated the list again. It now has 116 names, compared to the 96 posted last month.
We really do appreciate the feedback we received from Alaskans about this. Reach out directly to us, let us know that, hey, we see your intentions here are good, but we have some recommendations for making it even better.
Advocates said the new update only provides the names of the victims, the date and location of the crimes, and a case number. They were hoping troopers would include profiles of the victims, more about the circumstances surrounding the crimes, and photos. McDaniel says troopers will look at how to include that information. He says it might not be possible for some of the oldest cases that go back more than 50 or 60 years, but he says he hopes the public will look at the cold case website as a work in progress and continue to make suggestions. This is KYUK News. I'm Evan Erickson. Kriana for listening. Please share your news tips, comments, or suggestions. You can email us at news@kyuk.org or message us on Facebook. And stay tuned for Yuktun Ganumshit coming up.